Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could please find your seats and grab your songbooks. We're going to start out by singing song 409, The Fight Is On. 409, The Fight Is On. 409, The Fight Is On.
The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to march is heard of far and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the time will come, the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you for all the good times and the hardships this church has been through. I pray that we would learn every day from your testings and trials, and that you'd bless us as we move forward fighting for you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. For our second song, we're going to go to 346, Bring Your Vessels, Not a Few. 346, Bring Your Vessels, Not a Few. Song 346.
Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Claim the promise of your Father. Bring your back.
Thanks for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, you can lift up your hand nice and high real quick. We'll go over the announcements in the bulletin pretty quickly, and then I'm going to make some longer announcements. We'll still sing our third song, but since I'm going to kind of divulge information for a while, you don't have to stay up here. You're welcome to. It's just up to you guys, all right? So I'm just giving you that hint that you might be up here for a little while. On the inside, we have our service soul winning times, our list of expecting ladies, and upcoming events. And then lot to note, we've got the baby shower on the 11th, the Mexico's mission trip at the end of the month. We have the ladies' Christmas party, December 8th, the Christmas caroling on the 11th, the children's Christmas music recital the 16th, cookie bake-off the 24th, 31st, the New Year's Eve party. And then thank you so much to everybody who participated in our Abilene Soul Winning Marathon. That was a great success, and it's great to hear that we had a lot of people going out and participating. Also, we have the details about that baby shower on the back if you would like to attend. We have our prayer list. Please be in prayer for our church family. One other announcement I want to make, it's not in the bulletin, but just as a kind of a reminder, especially for you kiddos, is that there's not supposed to be any running or screaming or yelling in church. That includes the fellowship room. So, you know, just because you're over there doesn't mean now all of a sudden you can, it's WWE or something like that. And I know that there's a strong desire to want to do so. I was a kid. I like wrestling. I like running. I like screaming. I like all of it too. But it's just, we don't want to have that be happening over there. Just don't want people getting injured, hurt, or creating a chaotic scene in the church building in any location. So please, as a friendly reminder, make sure if you're one of those kiddos, you're not going to do that. And as parents, we need to remind them. Also, our ushers and myself may even give reminders if we need to. Just we want to make sure that we're keeping the church in a peaceful state. That all being said, I wanted to give an update about kind of a legal situation that we had gone through.
in your white handouts, Psalm 126.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, the Lord hath done great things for us.
Offering plates being passed around, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10.
Matthew chapter 10, the Bible reads, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And to whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, he shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his own household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow me, he is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the evening service, and we thank you for Pastor and his family. I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and please allow him to deliver what he's prepared for us. And Lord, we just praise you in your son's name for returning their wickedness upon their own pate, Lord. And we always have our faith in your promises, Lord. And we know that you'll recompense us in due time, Lord, if we do those things which are right in the sight of you. And we just thank you for the blessings that you've given our church, our pastor, his family, all the growth. And I pray that you would use us greatly in the future, Lord, and that it would be done according to your will. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I'll be shortening the sermon a little bit, but I still want to focus on a few passages here. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, "In whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So according to the Bible, when God is sending out his disciples, Jesus Christ commissioning his disciples to go into the city, there's something special to these individuals because Jesus himself is not always traveling with them. But notice that they themselves have a capacity to bring peace onto a particular area that they're in, or potentially even cursing and wrath upon that particular area. Notice what it's saying. When you enter into a city or town, you're finding someone that's worthy. And if you're in a worthy house, notice what it says, let your peace come upon it. So notice that their peace is actually coming upon the area that they're in. And if it's not, they're supposed to shake off the dust of their feet to basically curse that area and to curse that location. And the title of my sermon this evening is this: God Bless Texas. All right? God Bless Texas. Now here's the thing. I entered into Texas, and you know what I want? I want my peace and my blessing to come onto this state. You know, I don't wish for evil to happen to Texas. Like, I don't have that attitude. I don't have that mentality. I don't want bad things to be happening where I live. And not even just Texas, even the cities and the areas that I live and I go into. Hey, when our church goes into an area, we wish for our peace and our blessing to come upon it. But you know, when they treat you like Watauga, it's like, hey, let's shake off the dust of our feet. That's right. Yeah. And let's go somewhere else. Because you know what? You guys
are judging yourselves worthy of, or you know, not worthy of having a great church in your area. And so sometimes you have to realize that God's people are the reason why blessings even exist. God's people is the reason why blessings exist. Go to chapter 5 for a moment. Go to chapter number 5. And, you know, even if people don't like us, they may be benefiting from our existence. And I don't really care if you like me or not. I'm still going to bless you, okay? Just like Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, not everybody liked him. But you know what? He was a blessing to everywhere he went. And he healed the people, and he fed them, and he did good unto them. And you know what? That's what our church should be like, where no matter what our reputation is or what people think of us, that we're actually a blessing in the area that we're in, and that we're blessing the people that we're around, and that we're trying to do good unto those people. And let me tell you something. I believe as a result of our church being here, this area is going to be more blessed than if it wasn't. And it's not just us, it's every saved believer, and it's every church that cares about the Word of God, that they're going to bless that area. And the Bible has literally called us to this. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And, you know, if we're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light, then we have some really important functions. Number one, we need to be lighting up the gospel and being as well known as possible. And I'll say that for being a pretty small Baptist church, we're pretty well known, you know. A lot of people know. And not only just on a Jewish website perspective, like CNN or whatever, we're also well known in the sense that think about how many invites we put on doors. Think about how many people we've knocked on their door and we've tried to give them the gospel. That's being a light in the community. And whether the media or whatever want to admit this, we know, us that are soul winners, that we ran into dozens and dozens of people that were very thankful that we knocked on their door, that we talked to them, that we gave them the gospel, the materials that we delivered unto them. And they like us. They want to be on our email list. They listen to our sermons. Their lives are being changed for the better as a result of our church. And I guarantee there's people in this area that didn't know who we were, and they got infected with, hey, soul winning, good church, made decisions positively for their family. Look, I know people that have told me that. They say, hey, as a result of the preaching or coming to this church more or getting plugged in, I've made positive changes in my life. And look, I know that we're making a difference and we're blessing the area that we're in. But we're also supposed to be salt in the sense that we preserve it, from destruction. And you have to understand that there's multiple forces at play in the world. There are destructive forces and there's preserving forces. Go over to Psalm 33. What is probably the most destructive force on this planet? It's probably Judaism and Jews. I mean, that's probably the most destructive force. And their most effective weapon, or probably their most vitriolic weapon at this point, is sodomites, is faggots. And they're using them at their discretion to basically terrorize our communities, terrorize our city, terrorize our world. And you know what? They're the destructive force. But then there needs to be an equal and opposite force of salt and light that's standing up against it and keeping them at bay and not allowing them every single victory and every single triumph and every single committee hearing and every single parade and every single book signing and every single library event and every single school board meeting. I mean, someone needs to get up and call these faggots disgusting and vile and evil and reprobate like they are. Yeah. Someone has to do it, and you say, well, that's irritating. Well, you know what? Sometimes salt's a little irritating. Sometimes the light hurts your little precious eyes because you've had them closed for too long. But let me tell you something. You know, we're supposed to be salt and light. And, you know, maybe it got a little too dark in the Arlington City Council that whenever some fundamental Baptist showed up for a couple meetings, they were like, whoa, what's happening? But you know what? I heard about this from our protesters, how they were going to go and intimidate a bunch of Christians showing up protesting Pride Night. And you know what I thought? I thought, no one ever sticks up for us. But you know what? Why can't we stick up for someone else? And I said, the only reason I even wanted to go is I just didn't want them to get trampled on. And you know what? I am so glad that we showed up to that Arlington City Council meeting, because there was about like four Christians that showed up, and there was like I don't even know, 50, 60, 80 sodomites. I mean, there was a ton of sodomites that showed up. Dozens of them spoke, and they were just with one accord just saying all kinds of evil and vitriol. And I remember, you know, I think I was like one of the first people to get up and say something different than the narrative, okay? Different than that was being expounded. And I remember at first when I was sitting there, I was kind of like a little bit nervous about just how it was going to go down, just because I don't know, are they going to shut me down the first 5 seconds of me speaking? Like, are they going to throw stuff at me? Like, I've never really done the speaking at an event like that, so I don't know what to expect. Sometimes you're just a little anxious because you don't know what to expect. But I remember after about one or two of them got up and started talking their vile nonsense, I lost all nervousness and I was just mad. I was just angry at hearing all of that filth and that evil being spewed. And so I was just ready by the time I got up there to kind of scream and yell the word of God at these individuals. And you know what? They didn't like it. Mayor Ross did not like what I had to say. And lots of people there, that's not necessarily true. Don't say that. But, you know, a lot of people there were, you know, definitely very irritated by our church's presence. Okay, but you know what? I don't care, because they need to know that there's someone in their town that's willing to say this is gross. And there's someone that gets up and says, hey, I know that there's a really loud majority here, but they're actually a minority. The vast majority of your citizens here think this is gross and disgusting and hate these people, and it's evil and it's perverse. And I remember later in the future, you know what they did? They even held like a poll. They were just trying to ask random citizens in the city, like, what do you think about pride? They're trying to figure out, hey, is this even true? Like, does the majority not necessarily support this opinion? And I think just because of us showing up and being such an irritating force, it caused them to kind of second guess or question a few things, okay? Now, a little bit later in just timelines or history, certain baseball teams were having to make tough decisions on if they were going to have Pride Night. And you know what? There was one team in all of the United States that decided not to have a Pride Night, and it was the Texas Rangers. You know what? God bless the Texas Rangers, all right? And I have no idea if us showing up and saying things in Arlington had any impact on that, but I'm going to take at least a little credit, okay? Just the fact they were like, well, but there's all these psychos here that, you know, don't like this, so we want to make sure that we don't make them upset. You know, praise God that anybody would say anything. Yep. Because you know what? Even if it wasn't us, there was other people there that didn't like it. Amen. And were stepping up and saying things. There was another lady there that was very vocal. And you know what? Praise God for her as a Christian standing up for what's right. And albeit she's maybe not ready to wear a sodomite deception t-shirt, but you know what? She at least knows that it was gross. Yeah. Yeah. And she actually had worked for the city at one point in time. And had said that whenever the Rangers were acquiescing to some of this gross stuff, she just totally canceled her season tickets even initially and was putting pressure on them and putting pressure on the city and telling them this isn't right and we shouldn't do this kind of stuff. And I think through her efforts and other people's efforts and possibly us even just encouraging them a little bit, it put enough pressure for their organization to kind of say like, hey, let's just back off maybe. But you know what? Praise God for someone saying, you know what, we don't need to necessarily support the most disgusting, vile, evil, reprobate pedophilia known to man. What is there to be prideful about? It's disgusting. It's evil. It's reprobate. What does it have to do with baseball? Nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with baseball. And how is that going to make families feel welcome to go and watch a family? And look, of professional sports, baseball is probably one of the most friendly atmospheres you're going to get in regards to family sports. Albeit there's a lot of alcohol and there's still issues. I'm not 100% pleased with it, but I'm just saying in general, it's still, you can kind of hold your nose at the worldliness and still appreciate some of the things that are going on, enjoy some of the manliness of baseball, and you're going to be there a long time. It's kind of boring. But you know what? I still can appreciate it. And you know what? God bless the Texas Rangers for not doing this. And I think that he did. And you say, I don't know, you know, that God cares about baseball. I don't think he cares about baseball, okay? So I don't want you to hear me wrong. But what I do believe is that God looks at every decision that everyone makes, every business makes, and he blesses and curses those decisions. And when one team, only one team, says, you know what? we're not going to do this Pride Night, I think God takes note of that. I think he pays attention to that. And I think just like every decision we make, God is paying attention to, and he's going to even bless those or curse those. Look at Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. You know what? God says, I'm going to bless an entire nation when you give me some honor and glory. And you know what? The teams and the cities and the towns and the individuals and the churches that give the most honor to God, God is going to bless them the best and bless them the most. And you know, we can see that in America. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Why is it that America is the place that everybody wants to come to? Because for so long, God was the God of this nation. I mean, in our money, it literally says, in God we trust. I mean, according to, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance or any of these things, I mean, we're giving a tribute to God. If you look at the Texas Constitution, it says, humbly invoking the blessing of Almighty God. That's the Texas Constitution. And then you have idiots at the University of Texas down in Austin saying, we live in a secular culture. You might, but you know what? The rest of us don't. They're like, oh, why do you care so much about your religious ideology? That has no impact on our society. I said, oh, you mean like which bathroom people can use? You mean like which pronoun I'm supposed to use? You mean like virtually every decision we make is actually dictated by ideology? Property tax, communism, capitalism, you know, the Democratic Party existing. I mean, these people are so evil, like none of them should even be alive probably. They probably all deserve capital punishment for a lot of the crimes that they've committed, let alone, I mean, most of them are pro-abortion. That takes out many of them. They committed all kinds of treason and all kinds of other evil, all kinds of war crimes. I mean, there's so, I mean, they're hit lists. I mean, there's so many things going on, you know, in our country and in our culture that is so evil at this point. It's hard to see why God would still bless us. But you know what? When we, if we would say as a nation, hey, we're going to put God back in charge of our nation, it would fix everything like that. We cannot acquiesce to saying we're a secular nation. We have never been a secular nation. We're still not a secular nation. Don't let the liars and propagandists turn us into a secular nation. Because as soon as it's a secular nation, it's just a dictatorship, which is communism. And read a book about communism. Maybe you'll actually care about life a little bit. Communism is so bad, you have no idea. You have no idea. I'm reading one book. It's called The Bridge at Andau. You should read this. Not because you'll enjoy it. But boy, when they talk about what they do to people that actually have freedom of speech, like they say something that's not popular, torture like you could never even imagine. For just even voicing a contrary opinion. Like, is this a good idea? Something so horrible like that. And look, our country is not far from wanting to implement that if the Democrats have their way. Where you say something bad and you get carried off to Gulag, and you never return. And not only, they don't just kill you. They know that killing's actually merciful. They do the worst atrocities. And you know what's interesting about the bridge at Andau, which I, again, highly recommend. I'm going to give you one spoiler, okay? This is my one spoiler. But you already knew this anyways, okay? But in the book, he describes like a whole chapter on the torture and the evil that these people are doing. And I mean, they're torturing people for months and months in the most gruesome, evil ways you could ever imagine. And he explains the whole thing. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, now, most of these people that were in charge of this, homosexual. And I'm like, yep. And, you know, like reading the chapter, and then I kind of thought about it. I'm like, you know, if the people that were protesting our church were in charge of our torture programs, it would have sounded exactly like this. And it's not that far. Look, why do you think they've been building all these mobs and these antifa mobs and whatever? They would put them in charge of all the prisons fast. And they would be doing all kinds of evil. And some people think like, oh, why do you contend with these people and why do you rile them up? Whatever. Because I don't want to be in prison where my prison might guard. Yeah, right. I don't want them to take your little kid off to the prison and do the evil, horrible things that they want to do to them. Yeah. And you know what? Someone needs to stand up to these freaks and say it's disgusting and say, hey, the Rangers shouldn't be celebrating this filth. And you know what? Praise God they won the World Series. Praise God that they get to be elevated and looked at. Hey, we can decide to just flip off, you know what, Pride Night, and we're still going to win. And not only that, we're going to win every single road game. In the playoffs, they won every single road game. And I almost feel like it's God's sense of humor to just rub it in the nose of every one of these other institutions and organizations like, hey, here's the team that didn't do Pride Night, and they're going to beat you in your own house because you're losers and you're cursed for celebrating Pride Night. Because frankly speaking, the Rangers weren't even the best team. God's just showing you like, hey, I'll bring in a bunch of ragtag, bunch of white boys, okay, and they're going to come in here and they're going to show you that we don't celebrate queers around here. Hey, you know what? God bless Texas and God bless the Rangers for winning. You know, I have no qualms about believing that he would do such a thing. Yeah. Just to show how he feels about these situations. And even if he didn't bless them, he just cursed the others anyways. Yeah. Curse the LA Dodgers, who literally brought the most filthy and disgusting, vile attractions into their stadium and let literal trans, like, freaks make fun of and mock the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, cursed be their organization. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if God just literally just struck lightning down and just burned that whole building down. It's so evil and so wicked what they did. And you know what? Praise God that we live in an area where that's not happening. But you know why that happened in LA? Because Christians stopped being salt and light in their area. And if you like the Rangers, you better speak up about these issues and be steadfast and actually being salt and being light so we can actually enjoy parts of our society. You know, I want to explain something to you. You know what's so great about Texas? You know what's so great about this area? Food. And let me tell you my food doctrine. Where there's the best Christianity is the best food. That's why you don't want to go to North Korea, okay? That's why India's food. I'm telling you. Okay? Ronald McDonald is satanic, folks. No, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, you laugh, but I'm being serious. Because look at, you look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4, what is the doctrine of devil? It's being against eating certain meats. And consistently in the Bible, bad people want to eat bad food and good people want to eat good food. And God's trying to take the children of Israel into the land of milk and honey. And God's constantly promoting a diet of what? Milk and meat and bread and honey. And let me tell you something. That's where the food's at. And you know what God wants? God wants women in the kitchen making food. And you know why food sucks in so many areas is because women aren't making good food. They have Alberto and Jorge and Jesus, you know, in the kitchen. Sorry for you guys that are named that in our church. Esteban, you know. Look, you go to any restaurant. I don't care what it is. It's Esteban and whatever other Hispanic name you can think of. I'm only thinking of people I know in this room, okay. They're the ones that are making the dish, and they don't really care as much. You know, let's get some women back in the kitchen making really good food. You know, look, cooking is a skill. Cooking is an art. You don't get good at that in one day, in one year, yay, even 5 years sometimes. It's grandma's recipe. And it's grandma's food. Why is it that people are like, oh man, you can't beat grandma's food? It's because she was been cooking up in the kitchen. You can beat McDonald's. You can beat, you know, all these little crappy places that are out there. And I'm telling you what, you visit other areas of the world and you'll think, man, Texas has the best food. It has it. Why? Because look, we're blessed. And when, you know, you care about the things of God, you're like, cut that stupid cow's head off and let's eat it. When you're in India, you're like, worship the cow. Oh, I love cow. You know, cows are wonderful. We make cow family member. It's like, dude, he would taste so good. Chop his head off. Okay? I'm telling you what. God blesses that which is biblical. And think about this. Probably it's just been voted like the number one fast food restaurant, just like year after year. What is it? Chick-fil-A. And they probably make more money than any other fast food restaurant, and they don't even work 7 days a week. They're working 6 days a week. And they're being more blessed because you know what? They're more biblical. Yeah. And frankly speaking, of fast food, their quality kicks everyone else's butt. I mean, compare a McDonald's chicken nugget to a nugget at Chick-fil-A. We're talking about different stratospheres here, folks. I mean, it is like cardboard and glue in that McDonald's. I don't even know if it's meat. I don't know what it is. Like, how are they that bad? I looked at it, and it was like, at McDonald's, it was like, get a 20-piece nugget, and it was like $7. And then it was like, for $9, we'll give you 40. And I was like, they can't even give these things away. Why would you want 40 nuggets from McDonald's? I'm like, what are you going to do with this? And I'm telling you what, where Christianity is good food. And you know what? God bless Texas and its food and its people and its sports teams and everything. You know, we need to do this kind of stuff. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll finish here. I could preach a lot longer, but you get the message. You know what? God bless Texas. And we need to do such a thing. We need to bless our area and bless our community. And you know what? They might not like Steadfast Baptist Church, but they're going to be blessed for us being here. Not because we're special, but because the Lord's special. And wherever the Lord's people are, he brings his blessing with them. And you know what? If we continue to be salt and light and preach the word of God, we're going to bless our area. We're going to make women women again. We're going to make men men again. We're going to make fags sad and depressed and want to end their own life because they're losers and they lose. And we keep winning every single battle and every single victory. And you know what? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we just make cooler documentaries. And we just make cooler shirts. And we just get more people saved. And you know what? Nuts to all you faggots because you're queers and losers and you're going to burn in hell anyways. And you know what? What a great middle finger to you that the Rangers won the World Series. Ha ha, eat it. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Amen. You know what? Cursed be every single one of these faggot protesters that lives in this community. Everyone hates you. You hate yourself. And you have the curse of the Lord on you. And you know what? God is blessing us in our habitation. God is blessing us in this community. And you know what? I don't care what the world thinks. Oh, why do you contend with these people? Why are you going to do this? Why don't you just stop talking about it? Now that you have a building, why don't you quit? Never! No! God has blessed us, and God is going to continue blessing this area. And you know what? I hope that the Rangers never say, oh, now we're going to acquiesce. Hey, God just showed you you can win the World Series without Pride Night. Never at it. You know what needs to happen? More teams need to say, hey, I'm going to be like the Rangers, and we're going to drop stupid Pride Night. We're going to drop these faggots like the terrorists they are. They're not worth it. They're not going to baseball games anyways. Stop wasting money on nonsense. Nuts to these. You know, we need more people to stand up and say no and show the world, hey, you can say no and still win. The Rangers did it. We do it. We need to encourage and embolden more people in our community and in Texas and in our area to say no. And you know what? We need to get legislation back on the table that puts Lawrence versus Texas back in the Supreme Court's hands. And for us to say, you know what? We're going to criminalize these faggots again. We need to bring it back and put heat back on them. And we need to keep being the salt and keep being the light. Say, hey, you might get persecuted again. Bring it on! What are you going to do? Kill me? I'll go to heaven sooner. Great. Some days I want to anyways, all right? But I got a lot to live for, and I'm excited about the future. And you know what? I love that God could use, you know, just even something fun like the Rangers to win to just show you don't have to acquiesce to these people. There's going to be a temptation in your life to think, like, I need to compromise on this issue. I have to compromise if I want to be successful in the workplace, to have housing, for people to like me, for whatever. Never compromise. Never, ever compromise. Contend with these evil people. We need to preserve our area because when we do, you know what? God is going to bless us. And when we don't, you know what? God may not bless us. And I believe wherever we're at doing his will, he's going to make sure to bless us. Obviously, some people could be martyred, and I get that. But you know what? That's a blessing in and of itself anyways. Don't get afraid and intimidated by the evil that's out there. Embrace the blessing that God has for us by never retreating. You know, I love the song we sang this morning about how the trumpet never sounds retreat. And we should never, ever be that way. Hey, it's Steadfast Baptist Church for a reason. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for our church, for what you've given us and blessing our area. Thank you so much for some of the greatest food. Thank you so much for just being in a great area. Thank you for giving us opportunities to even have fun with our families, like enjoying a baseball game. I pray that you would help us to continue to be salt and light in this area, that we would help embolden and encourage other people to not acquiesce to the devil and to his minions, and that rather we'd have more people fighting the good fight of faith, more people standing up for the Christian God. And I pray that you could find a way to bring revival in this area, that our city would say, you know what, God is our God. And this whole area would say God is our God. And this state would say that God is our God. And God willing, our country could somehow find a way to put the Lord back in the driver's seat of our country and to say that, you know what, we're going to honor the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. That's what gave us the blessing that we have to be here in the first place. And I pray that we'd never forget that, we'd never retreat, we'd never give up, but we'd always be steadfast for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, for our final song this evening, we're going to go ahead and go to 336, Constantly Abiding. 336, Constantly Abiding. 336, Constantly Abiding.
There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave.
Everyone have a good night. Thanks for coming.